Chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And we are going to continue today on what we began last week. Last week I was talking to you, but also to ministers that were watching us, that ministers should have the right to speak and to educate their congregations on the issues that we face in this nation. There is no separation from this election and the things that you and I believe and stand for. And we need to understand that, and we need to understand this scripture in Proverbs chapter 29. This is so important. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. There's so much to say about that one verse of scripture right there. When the righteous, and we believe for righteous people to be in office in this nation. We are in agreement together that in Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. is a city of righteousness. It is a city of God. We need to change our declaration, change our confession about that. It's not a place of corruption. It's a place where prayer takes place, where the Word of God is preached. And there are people who are hungry, in office, hungry to serve. Serve the nation, serve the people, and serve the Almighty God. So when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. There's great rejoicing. When the wicked rule, and we're talking about from the very top to the least office that there is, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. That sense of mourning is a sense of loss. And so we have the opportunity right now, as this election approaches us, and it's right around the corner. It's closer than you think. And we have to be in a place where we understand, especially where the Democrat Party and the Republican Party stand. And that's why since 2012, when I had a conversation with Brother Copeland, we were approaching the election of 2012. I was over at their house. He and I were talking about the election. And Brother Copeland gave me an assignment, which I have been faithful to ever since 2012. He said, George, you need to take the two political platforms and preach on those points. So these are the actual books that I bought back in 2012, the Democratic, the Republican, and contained in these two books are the platforms, the current platforms of these parties. I have been reading them. I have been studying them. I've been educating myself on what these platforms say. So Brother Copeland said to me, he said, look at what the two parties say about a particular issue. Compare the two platforms to God's word. This is our party platform. This is what we base our decisions on. And this is what we base our nation upon. Compare the two platforms to God's word. Determine which platform best aligns with how the kingdom of God operates. You need to know that. You need to be aware of that. You need to be aware of what these platforms say. Take the time, go online, print them out, read them, study them, highlight them, become educated in these things. He said, make it really clear that a platform is something that you stand on. And the planks represent the individual issues. And we're going to be talking about individual issues as in these upcoming weeks that we are together. We'll talk about some of the issues that are particularly important to you and me. For instance, one of the issues that we're going to be talking about is Israel. And where does the Democratic Party stand and where does the Republican Party stand where Israel is concerned? One thing we know, we cannot divide up the land. We can't do that. There are very dangerous things that happens to the nation that begins to divide the land of Israel. That land is God's land. You start messing with that and you open yourself up to the curse. Case in point. The Gaza Strip, land for peace. They gave up the Gaza Strip. They had to move people out of the Gaza Strip. They had to relocate people. Well, just some weeks before the Hurricane Katrina took place, all of this about the Gaza Strip was being developed. It was being pressured. Israel was being pressured to do that, and they finally did it. They finally did it. And so we had, before Hurricane Katrina, we had people that were being relocated from the Gaza Strip. They were having to be relocated to other places because the Palestinians were moving in. Shortly thereafter, Katrina hit. And then we found ourselves in a place where people were having to relocate and go to another place. You open the door to the curse when you disobey the law of God's word. We don't want to do that. And that's why I'm up here shaking my hands like this, getting this across to you, because it is so important. This election is crucial. I would dare say it is the most crucial election that we've ever faced. Because the moral foundation of our nation is being undermined and attacked. We're stepping out into areas and things that we've never seen before. Things that are devil-inspired. It's his last stand before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church needs to rise up, and the church needs to take her place. And the pastors and the ministers need to speak up and speak out. Unashamed. To declare the truth from their platforms. Brother Copeland told me that day that the platform planks represent the individual issues, and that those planks make up a stage. Underneath this carpet, there are probably planks, and they're all connected together. And he said, to vote for that platform is to attach yourself to it and partake of the judgment of that platform. The judgment of the platform. This is serious business with God. The judgment of the platform. He said, you could vote for a person for some other reason. But if they are an abortionist, you are an accomplice to murder. Powerful statement. Very powerful statement. To vote for that platform is to attach yourself to it and partake of the judgment of the platform. You could vote for that person for some other reason, but if they are an abortionist, you are an accomplice. He said, there's no way out of it. Just because you did it for some other reason doesn't get you off the hook. Very strong words. You know, where these party platforms are concerned, I've heard this said before. Nobody pays attention to these. Nobody reads these. Well, let me give you a few statements again in my conversation with Brother Copeland that day. First of all, God knows what is in those platforms. He knows. He knows because he's read them. You mean to tell me that God has read the Republican and Democratic platform? He has. He's even read the Independent and Libertarian as well. He knows. He knows. And he will hold us accountable. That's why I'm so emphatic about this. That's why I'm so passionate about this. He will hold us accountable for it. Secondly, they were written by we the people. People. People wrote those. Representatives from every state of the union. And from the abundance of their hearts, the parties speak. The parties talk. The parties write what they believe. And thirdly, politicians will make their decisions on our behalf based upon the platform that they embrace and the platform that they stand on. The platform, these platforms are the driving agenda for all legislation. And like I said before, people have said, well, nobody reads that. Nobody reads these platforms. I would say that these platforms of 2020 are the most read the plan of the Democratic platform and the Republican platform, it has come to a place where there is a divide. There is definitely a divide. And there's been a difference from the last time I read it in 2016. We were about here. Now we're right here. A major divide. And you can read, as I've read both of these, I can hear the passion in these people, and I also hear it from the spokesman. I hear it from President Trump. I hear it from Vice President Joe Biden. I hear it. And it is a culture shift. It is an attack against our very culture. It is the difference between darkness and light. Darkness, if you will, it is darkness last stand. Pushing an agenda, pushing such an agenda that is against the Word of God. It is what they will be going to push to accomplish over the next 4 years and beyond. And beyond. We cannot lose the ground that we've taken. We cannot lose that ground. And the issue that I'm going to talk to you about today, just one issue, and that is the issue of abortion. Brother Copeland said it in the word from the Lord that he was given, that will be an accomplice to murder where abortion is concerned. And this word from the Lord that he received, he said, "Tell my people wherever you go, those who vote for politicians knowing their immoral policies and platforms and illegal acts had better repent. They are partners with those politicians and will be responsible for every baby's death. You have taken the devil's part by not voting at all." So this should help those of you and those of you that may be saying to yourselves, "I don't like either of them. I'm not going to vote." Well, by not voting, you've already voted. You've already voted. And you'll be responsible for what the results of that would be. Now, we're encouraging everybody in the state of Texas to make sure that you are registered to vote. And October 3rd is the registration deadline. We've got cards out in the lobby that you can pick up, fill them out, send them in, and get registered to vote. And as I've told you before, when I go vote, that is a time that I am able, as Pastor George Pearson's, a citizen of the United States of America, have the right to go into that voting booth and let my vote be heard, to let my say be said, and to take the time to worship and praise God. I spend a lot of time in that booth because I count it as a noble right of mine to be able to do that, in this country. So you better believe I'm going to go vote. I'm going in there and I'm going to pray and stand in faith for my nation. But talking about the abortion issue today, we need to know what these platforms say. What do they believe? And you need to know that those who are in the leadership positions embrace these platforms. They believe these platforms. Now, we as the body, and I'm speaking about ministers, pastors in particular, we need to remind them of what they said. We need to keep that before them. And we need to be encouraging you to write. To write your senators, to write the president, to write those that are in authority, if something needs to be corrected, because you and I have a say in this nation. We are citizens of this nation. Amen. And I'm thankful for all of those that are watching us literally all over the world right now. You play such a part in this, in praying for us and standing with us where the United States of America is concerned. First of all, abortion. What is it? When you look at a very simple definition from the dictionary, it is the deliberate termination of human pregnancy. That is what abortion is. And the Democratic Party has a stand and the Republican Party has a stand. So let me do this with you. If you just bear with me on this, I want to read to you some of the portions of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party platforms. It is not all the information that's in there, but it gives you at least the overview of what each one of these platforms stands for. So in the Democrat Party, Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health, rights, and justice. We believe unequivocally, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. We will repeal the Title X domestic gag rule and restore federal funding for Planned Parenthood, which provides vital, preeminent, and reproductive health care for millions of people, especially low-income people, people of color, and LGBTQIA+ people, including the undeserved areas. So the Democrat Party believes in abortion. They stand for abortion. And let me just take a side step for just a moment, because we'll deal with this later on. But I just read to you LGBTQIA+. We are finding ourselves in a place of serious identity question for a lot of people. And it keeps expanding and expanding. 2 years ago, Facebook had 75 genders that you could choose from. They're saying right now there are 90 genders. And the plus sign just means there's an infinite. You can choose whatever you want to be. And it's getting stranger and stranger and stranger. LGBTQIA. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer or questioning, intersex, and asexual, and then plus. Now, we'll be dealing with that because the Democrat Party has a lot to say about that term, the terminology of those areas. And it's something that we need to learn about, we need to know about, because, and this is another area that you and I will be talking about, because there is an agenda right now afoot where the changing of our books in public schools are concerned to add all of this to it. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning what the plans are right now infiltrating our public schools and how far down they're going, even in California, to kindergarten. What they're teaching them in kindergarten. Now, I'm not fully prepared to talk to you about that in totality today, but I've been reading about it, studying about it, had a long conversation with David Barton about it last night, and they're putting together some statements for us so that we can share them with you. But a lot of people don't know about this. They don't know about this because there are school systems that refuse to allow parents to read what is in those books and what is in that curriculum. It's serious. It's serious. So that's why we need to know about this, so that we can pray, use our faith, and take action. Again, it is time for the church to rise up and take their place. You, in this church alone, in the local area, we could absolutely take over the school board. We could do it. We could do it. Absolutely do it. And that's one of the things that David Barton was talking to us about. These are things that I'm having to familiarize myself as a pastor. But one thing that I have done, whenever there are elections for school board or anything else, I'm there. Because when you find any group of people, you're going to find an agenda. That agenda will be there. And that agenda right now where the school board is concerned, it has everything to do with our children's future and what they are taught and what they are trained in. Some of the things that they're talking about for 7th and 8th graders. Perverted and preposterous. At the right time, I will bring that to you. I will teach you about that. We'll learn about it, and then we'll learn how to take action concerning it. Going back to the platform about abortion, It says they'll repeal the Title 10 domestic gag rule. So what is this Title 10 domestic gag rule? It's a rule that forbids grant recipients from using funds to perform, promote, refer to, and support abortion as a method of family planning. Money that's being used for that. Your money, my tax money, being used for these kinds of things. I would say that the people of the church need to rise up. And they need to be appalled at some of the things that are taking place and let their voices be heard. I believe that's one reason for the church. I believe the church is a place where people are an anointed angry mob. If you will. The bad guys come into town to take over. And they start taking over and they build a saloon. And all of the townsfolk are hiding from them. I'm talking about a Western here. And then there's one of the townsfolk that says, we're not going to let this go on any longer. And they all get pitchforks. And they get their torches. And in the middle of the night, they rise up. The angry mob rise up. And they make their voices and they run the bad guys out of town. I believe that that's a picture of the church. I believe it is. We walk in love. Where this is concerned. But there is action that we take. First action we take is against the devil. The powers and the principalities behind all of this. And that's the advantage that you and I have, is to be able to take that authority over it. Democrats oppose and will fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health and rights. We will repeal the Hyde Amendment and protect and codify the right to reproductive freedom. Now, what is the Hyde Amendment? What does that include? The Hyde Amendment bars the use of federal funds for abortion except to save the life of the woman or if the pregnancy arises from incest or rape. The 2016 Democrat platform marked the first time the party included an explicit call to repeal the Hyde Amendment in its platform. We believe that comprehensive health services, including access to reproductive care and abortion services, are vital to the empowerment of women and girls. There's much more that these platforms say about abortion, but that gives you the sort of the overview where abortion is concerned. If we were to take a pop quiz right now, the question would be, does the Democrat Party believe in abortion? And your answer would be, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Well, let's take a look at the Republican Party platform. Where do they stand where abortion is concerned? I'll read several of the points to you. The Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence proclamation that all are endowed by their Creator with the inalienable right to life. Accordingly, we assert the sanctity of human life and affirm that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. We oppose the use of public funds to perform or promote abortion or to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood so long as they provide or refer for elective abortions or sell fetal body parts rather than provide health care. We support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values and the sanctity of innocent human life. Supreme Court justices. Spaces are coming up. What do we want on that court? Who do we want sitting on that court? We affirm our moral obligation to assist rather than to penalize women who face an unplanned pregnancy. We celebrate the millions of Americans who open their hearts, their homes, their churches to mothers in need and women fleeing abuse. We thank and encourage providers of counseling, medical services, and adoption assistance for empowering women experiencing an unintended pregnancy to choose life. I don't know if you've ever heard of a ministry. It was called Mercy Ministries. And we have been supporting it for many, many years. Nancy Alcorn is the head of that ministry. And one of the things that they do is they take in young girls that are pregnant and will not be able to care for the child. They take them in. They love them. They train them. They teach them. And then they help place those babies in homes that will love them and care for them. Nancy Alcorn was an activist. She was against abortion. And one day, the Lord spoke to her and said, "You need to do something about it." And that's when He gave her the idea to open Mercy Ministries to take care of these girls. And so we've been supporting her. We actually have been supporting her since the beginning of Pastor Terry and I pastoring the church in 1993. Every month, we send finances to Mercy Ministries, and you are a part of that. Give God glory. Hallelujah. We applaud the U.S. House of Representatives, for leading the effort to add enforcement to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act by passing the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which imposes appropriate civil and criminal penalties on healthcare providers who fail to provide treatment and care to an infant who survives an abortion. This includes early induction delivery, whether the death of the infant is intended. We strongly oppose infanticide. Infanticide. I looked it up. A person who kills their own child. Infanticide. Over a dozen states have passed the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Acts prohibiting abortion after 20 weeks. The point at which current medical research shows that unborn babies can feel excruciating pain during abortions. And we call on Congress to enact a federal version. Now, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, it was introduced to Congress in 2013. It successfully passed the House of Representatives in 2013, 2015, 2017. The bill has twice received a majority of votes in the Senate, but has failed to reach the 60 votes required to break a filibuster. So, the Republican Party is pressing to get that done. The urgency of this. The urgency, over 60 million babies going through this horrific experience. So now we know where the Democrat Party stands, where the Republican Party stands. Why don't we look at where the Bible stands on abortion? That's the most important thing here. Where does the Word of God stand where abortion is concerned? I'm going to read to you 10 scriptures. You can write these down. These scriptures will empower you. Actually, there's 11 because somebody gave me one in between services. But it empowers you. And we're standing on God's Word. What is important in all of this is, what does He think? What does God think? And what's important is what He thinks is in His Word. What he uses as a law of life is in the Word of God. Let me give you these scriptures. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So we choose life. We choose life. And we, as Christians, as believers, we choose to believe that life is in the womb. Life is in the womb. That's not a blob. That's not an it. That's not a tissue. It is a person. A person with a future. A person with an anointing. A person being called of God to fulfill a purpose in this earth. So we choose life. We choose life. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable, detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Innocent blood. It goes on, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness that pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. But one who sheds innocent blood, it said the Lord hates, and it is a detestable thing. Abortion is a detestable thing in the eyes of God. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. There it is right there. God knit us together in our mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. There are two phrases in here that are so important. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I was woven together in the dark of your womb. In the scripture that someone gave me, Mark 10:9, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I was knit in my mother's womb. In Isaiah 44:2, this is what the Lord says. He made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. You and I were formed by God in the womb. Living human being who's ready to contribute to this world. Isaiah 46:3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you who I've upheld since you were conceived, and I've carried you since birth. You seeing how the Father views this and how he sees abortion. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He knew you. He knew you from the very foundation of the world. And then it said, before you were born, I set you apart. When we found out that Pastor Terry was pregnant with Jeremy, the two of us made a decision together. We began to talk to him. We began to tell him about his future. And as Pastor Terry was growing with Jeremy on the inside, I'd get right down there. And I talked to Jeremy. You are called of God. You'll preach the word of God. You'll fulfill the plan of God in your life. And it really, I was actually just doing what God did. Before you were born, I set you apart. So we were setting him apart. And now look what Jeremy's doing. A church in Colorado, preaching the word of God. It's amazing. We did the same thing with Aubrey. We spoke to her. We talked to her, and you saw her on the platform today, leading worship, glorifying God. She's teaching a class over here on worship at the Kenneth Copeland Bible College. We spoke to her. We talked to her. We were, before she was born, we were setting her apart. In Psalm 22:31, they will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. Yet unborn. Psalm 78:5-6. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn will tell their children. Well, I was just talking to you a few moments ago about the school system and the changing of the direction of what's being said to children. And I see in this scripture here, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. We're going to get a hold of this thing. Where that public school is concerned, we are going to get a hold of that and going to turn that around. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As you know not what is the way of the wind, or, listen to this carefully, how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman. Even so, you know not the work of God who does all. How the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman. Terry and I were talking about that. She looked at me, she said, that's 6 weeks. That's 6 weeks. Living. Breathing. And then this final one, Luke 1:41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The baby. God called it a baby. Other translations, the child leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. So we now understand and we now know. Some people don't like President Trump. They don't like the way he talks. They don't like his tweets. Some of them think, what in the world is he doing? What is going on? Some people don't like Joe Biden. He's too old. He can't carry a sentence. What's the matter with him? Folks, this is not a personality contest. It's not. It's not. And what we're endeavoring to do is to find somebody and some group of people that come closest to reflecting what this is all about. President Trump, he uses awful language sometimes. But President Trump does not believe in abortion. And the very fact of the Republican Party, that's what they stand for. That is what they stand for. And I read those things to you today because we got to wave that in front of them. You said, have you ever had any of your kids and you said something to them about going to get ice cream or going to go do something, and they come back to you and say, you said, well, we can come back to them and say, you said, this says. We can get to the point where we are so obnoxious. Like that, it's like that widow woman and the judge. Persistent faith. Persistence wears down resistance. And we can be just as persistent where these things are concerned. Whatever party it is, we can make our voices heard. So this thing's not a popularity contest. Look at the platform. Look at the platform. And then make those people toe the line where that's concerned. I do believe that the church is rising up. I was talking to David Barton about this yesterday. I told him, I said, David, after you came in, then I talked the next Sunday and I talked about pastors being free to speak what they believe, speak what the Word of God says about this. And then I said, I'm beginning the platforms. This was yesterday. I said, tomorrow I'm beginning the platforms. He said, Pastor George, he said, I'm beginning to notice more and more pastors getting bold for their stand. He said, there are 3,000 pastors in California. They've had it. They've had it. They've had it with not having church. And so there are 3,000 rising up in the midst of all of this. There's some crazy stuff going on in California. There's some really strange things. Some things that Governor Newsom is voting for and voting on and bringing to the table. We need to stand with our brothers and sisters in California. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray over all the pastors, all the ministers in the state of California. We are standing with you. We are believing with you. We are declaring the word of God over you. That California, there's a California outpouring, and it's already started. It's already begun. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit has taken place, and there's a freedom. And our California church is opening up. I say it. Church is opening back up. Pastor John MacArthur right now, taking that stand. We stand with him in the name of Jesus. Who? Glory to God. So we vote. And we vote based on what those platforms say. There's more to be said, more areas to cover. There's also the Equality Act that we need to talk about. And you need to have some details. It sounds good, sounds nice, sounds pretty, but have you read the details? Have you read all of the things that it includes and how it will impact your life and impact my life? We'll talk about that. I want us to receive communion this morning. And receive communion over this. And ushers, if you could go ahead and begin to pass out the communion elements. And as we're doing that, I want to say something to you that the Lord ministered to me for this communion time. We know that abortion is wrong. We know that it is detestable in the sight of God. But as I was praying over this message, the Lord ministered something to me to minister to you. Two things in particular. There are women, perhaps in this room today, that you had an abortion, or maybe several. There are women that are watching us right now, all over the world, that maybe you've had an abortion. And what I was praying over and praying about was the emotional strain that has been, the pressure. And the Lord told me to tell you several things. He told me to tell you, and not only the women, but the men who are involved, the men that are a part of that. And there are women who have lamented that decision, that have felt horrible. And it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up. And the Lord said this to me. He said, first of all, the receiving of communion, the washing of the blood, also washes the soul, and it washes the mind. And it washes those memories. When you receive forgiveness, forgiveness is such a powerful thing. It is such a powerful thing from God that we are able to receive forgiveness for something that we did before we were saved, or maybe even after we were saved. And the Lord said to me to tell them this. Your child is in heaven. Been growing there. And fulfilling their calling. And when you come to heaven, there won't be any, we need to sit down and talk this through. There won't be any, you really hurt me by doing that. There's none of that there. It doesn't exist. It is a fear-free atmosphere. It is an offense-free atmosphere. It is a forgiveness-full atmosphere. The atmosphere of heaven itself is pure love. Love in its purest form. And that's what the church is. The church is a demonstration of heaven on earth. The pure love that we are taught and trained in. Well, it is pure. It is pure love in heaven. And what the Lord was saying to me is, as a mother, in going into heaven, your child will run up to you and throw their arms around you. Mother. Father. And he said the same thing about miscarriages. Many women have had miscarriages. And to some of them, it just haunts them. What could have been? What could have happened? What could it have been? And the Lord told me to tell you this. Those children are there too. They're there too. And they'll be running up to you. However many miscarriages there have been. 1, 2, 3, 5, 10. You've got a big family. You have a big family. And the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus washes away the hurt, the pain, the guilt of all of that, of all of it. And so together today, as we receive this, I'm expecting a work of the Holy Spirit in you that are watching, and a work of the Holy Spirit in our nation that will turn this around. And we will see a righteous nation rise up, because we are in the midst of the new birth for the United States of America. This is a new birth. A new, isn't it interesting, the word birth? It's a new birth for the United States of America. People might think it's going down, it's going down. No, it's not. It's not. As long as the body of Christ is here, and as long as we speak the word of the living God and take our place as the church, it ain't going down. It's not going down. Let's all stand together, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And I thank you, Lord, for educating us, helping us, where all of this is concerned, our nation. We place our nation on the throne, on the altar right now, before your throne. And we thank you, Lord, that the United States of America is a righteous nation. The church is rising up and getting stronger and stronger. Our love for one another is growing. Our love for people, even people who are living lifestyles contrary to the word of God, Father, our love is towards them. To see them make Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. For the confusion to dissipate, and for clarity of who they are in Christ Jesus. That is liberating. That is freedom. So Lord, we receive the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, and over every woman, excuse me, every woman here, every woman watching, if you've been through abortions, receive now the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Because this memory that you have been carrying has been inhibiting him from displaying his full love to you. My Father loves you. My Father loves you. My Father loves you. And Lord, we all receive forgiveness for things that we have done, things that we have said, the cleansing blood of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that what you showed me about all of these children, they're in heaven. They're well taken care of. They're fulfilling their mandate and their calling. And when we come into heaven's gates, there will be great rejoicing. For women who've experienced miscarriages, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for living, breathing children that are there. And those women that desire to carry a baby. Lord, we release that right now. We release that to them right now. From heaven. Oh Lord, you do miraculous things. Now where abortion is concerned in this nation, I thank you for the turnaround. I thank you that the abomination is stopping. I thank you, Lord, that people, there's an awakening that is taking place. An awakening, oh God. An awakening to you. An awakening to your righteousness. And so, Father, we receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. David.